is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you. Thank you. And welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to the book of James, New Testament, new book today. James chapter 1, verse 1. The book of James was written in about 45 A.D. is one of the first books of the Old Testament, one of the earlier books. James' name in the Hebrew is Jacob. So this is really Jacob. And Jacob's name in the Hebrew means supplanter or heel grabber. Do you remember that Jacob, whose name was later changed to Israel, and his brother Esau were twins in Rebekah's womb, and each one was fighting to be the first one out so they could get the firstborn blessing. Esau beat him to the punch, but Jacob was grabbing that heel. Jacob is the father of the 12 patriarchs. They're in the Bible. And the 12 patriarchs are the heads of the 12 tribes of Israel. That will be important. You need to know this about James. He was the half-brother of the Lord Jesus. Remember that Jesus' father is God. But after Jesus was born, Mary and Joseph had other children. One of them was James, or they called him Jacob. Naturally, they kept it in the family. Jude was also another. His name was Judah. It's interesting to know that Jesus' brothers and sisters did not particularly respect him or believe him to be Messiah until he arose from the dead. And then they became one of his great sponsors. And so here we have the book of James. I'm entitling this lesson tonight, or today, whatever time that you hear this, I'm entitling this lesson, God's Instruction to You on How to Get Through That Big Bad Trouble That's Bothering You. Anybody know about trouble? Okay, a big yes.
The book of James, scripture, chapter 1, verse 1. James, the servant of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad.
Now remember that we said there were 12 tribes of Israel? So James, Jacob, writes this to the 12 tribes. So they're scattered. Well, where are they? There are 12 tribes, and there are always 12 tribes. There are still 12 tribes, but they are scattered. They had a spat, and two of them changed their name and called themselves the House of Judah. That would be the tribe of Benjamin and the tribe of Judah. The other 10 tribes, there were 10 left, they were called the 10 tribes. They called themselves, after their father's name, the House of Israel. Because remember, Jacob's name was changed to Israel after he wrestled with the Lord. And so in 610 B.C., the 10 tribes were captured by Sennacherib, the Assyrian. This is all in the Bible in Isaiah. And they migrated over the Caucasus Mountains, were later called Caucasians, and migrated into Europe, and then into Canada, and finally into these United States of America, 10 tribes of Israel. Nobody in the church much knows this. The government doesn't know this. Why do you think this nation's been blessed? Why do you think our forefathers, those tribes, came here, erected a cross, and dedicated this land to God the Father and His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ? Why do you think that they said, let's send our children to church school to read the Bible? Yeah. Well, what happened to the other two tribes? Okay, 200 years later, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon captured the House of Judah, and that would be the House of Judah and Benjamin. But in the book of Nehemiah and Ezra, some of Judah came back to that land. Some are still scattered, but some came back to rebuild the wall. But they also brought with them some imposters, the Kenites, who say they are our beloved brother Judah, but are not. They're the synagogue of Satan. So some of them are back there, but the 10 tribes have never returned. Most American Christians call themselves Gentiles. You do not know who you are. And over we hear in the pulpit and nobody understands. You need to know now, America, you need to know, and body of Christ in America, you need to know, why do you think we fight so hard for Jesus and the Bible in this country? We are those tribes. Everybody calls them the lost tribes. There's numerous as the sand of the sea and the stars of the sky. You can't lose that many people. We just lost the truth. So my point is, United States of America Christian, he's talking to you, all right? And he's going to call you brother because he's Hebrew. And if you are that descendant of those tribes, then you're Hebrew too, because Abraham was Hebrew. Hebrew means those people, Eber, who crossed over the river.
Read. Verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations.
Oh, so he calls you a brother. Now, this right away is addressed to God's chosen people, the elect, and it would be those of you, so he can call you brother. And he automatically says, I know that you're being persecuted for righteousness' sake. All who live God in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But the very elect, Satan pinpoints you and just comes bring the temptation here means trouble. It's not talking about sin. And he said, you fall into divers as many. In other words, as soon as you get one trouble solved, another one comes along. We're not talking about regular world troubles, about jobs and mates and things. We're talking about if you're suffering it because of serving the Lord Jesus Christ and you're being persecuted to stop that. You understand there's a difference in that. Now let's talk just a moment about these temptations or troubles. This is not talking about sin. Being a person who helps people all my life and my ministry, there are three major prayer requests. Number one is for healing. The world is sick with sickness, and we're going to talk about that. In other words, everybody is got somebody somewhere who's not well. So one of the major troubles is sickness. The second one is money. It might be you don't have enough, or you need a job, or you need a better job, or you don't know how to manage your money. And so that's the second one. And the third one is relationships. Maybe you don't get along with your spouse or your family or somebody at work. So let's focus on these three major troubles. Probably all of you have suffered somewhere in here. I have suffered all three of these, and I am still standing, so I can help you.
Amen. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience.
Trying means test. See, I told you it's just a test. I tell people this and they stare at me and then go out and say, what are we going to do about that? Yes, I told you it's a test. You don't ever quit your test until you finish. You don't answer two questions and stop. You got a whole test to do. It worketh patience. Well, what is patience? Patience is a beautiful ornament. It's the fruit of the Spirit. See, you don't hear Christians say, Lord, I'd ask you to give me patience. They're afraid they'll get trouble. If the fruits of the Spirit are love and joy and peace and temperance and patience will be long-suffering. If you meet a person who has suffered long, patiently, and did not fold, and maybe they're still suffering, there's such a peace in their patience that it encourages you. But if you're around a person who has no patience, and they're in trouble, they're miserable, they make you nervous, you want to get away, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Patience is a beautiful ornament. A real elect of God wears it, and it sparkles.
Verse 3, but let patience have her perfect work.
Oh, patience is an energy. Have her perfect work, perfecting. Let's look at the beautiful little butterfly. The little boy saw the caterpillar, and he knew that a beautiful butterfly was trying to get out of there. He heard it going, tappity, 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 tappity. And the little boy couldn't wait. And he said, no reason for the butterfly to have to do those last few little tap, tap, taps, little exercises there. I'll just open the caterpillar for it, and I'll let it come out without finishing its exercise. And the beautiful butterfly came out, but it could not fly. Its wings were crippled. They had not had the right exercise. Revelation 20 says, you elect are being trained to reign. We shall rule and reign, teach with him 1,000 years. You've got to have the full measure of exercise. All kinds of things are coming up, supernatural events, and you need to be prepared. If not, you'll fold like a hothouse lily. See, you got to have patience to run the race set before you and keep your eyes on the goal and keep the pace. And so this trouble comes, and that trouble comes, and Satan tries to knock you down with them. If you get distracted, you pray about them, but you keep in the race. You keep the pace. You have the patience, and you win the race if you have the patience to endure the race.
Amen.
I want to say something else, too. We're going to talk about the Word of God in a few minutes. The Bible says the Word works effectually in you. Do you notice he said patience has her perfect work? Patience is working in you, getting out all of the immaturity. See, we live in a self-centered society. We're the most selfish society. Everything's about me, myself, and I. Even instant rice, instant grits, instant potatoes. Okay? Well, I'm on instant. You can't microwave. Why are you taking a whole minute to do that? You see? Okay, patience.
That ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing.
See, the little butterfly wasn't perfect. It would not have wanted its wings. It could have soared if it had finished its exercise. You're trying to find a way out before you get all beautiful like the butterfly. Just think how pretty you're going to be if you endure.
Verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God.
Now, it looks like James changed the subject. What's he talking about? He talks about the count it all joy. And Jesus says, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. In the world, you're going to suffer persecution. He says, count it joy. And now he says, if any of you lack wisdom, what's he talking about? Wisdom, how to handle these troubles. Handle the sickness. How to handle the money. How to handle the relationship. Well, where do we get wisdom? The book of Proverbs is the book of wisdom. Wisdom is from Genesis 1 through Revelation 22. In this book, there's everything you need to know about that sickness. That's where it is. It's right there. That's all you need to know about money. It's right there. That's all you need to know about relationships. Let's go with the money. Luke 6:38 says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall God cause men to give into your bosom. For with the same measure you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. Malachi 3 says, will a man rob God? You say, no. He says, you have robbed me. How have we robbed you, God? In tithes and offerings, bring your tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now, who would say the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, I'll pour you out a blessing that's not room enough to receive it, and I will rebuke the devil for your sakes. How do you think he's going to rebuke that off of you if you haven't even given him his 10%? And what about relationships? Jesus says, do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Paul says, esteem others more highly than yourself. Paul says, if it be possible, live peaceably with all men. It is not possible to live peaceably with all men. Some people have it in their DNA to be aggravating and to hurt you. Learn and have sense enough to move away when you're not doing God's work, but when you're just being abused. Esteem others more highly than yourself. That relationship, stop thinking about how great you are, and you want them to look at you, look at them and think how great they are. Your friend, your spouse. What if you spent all your time thinking what you could do for them and how great they are, instead of trying to get them to do something for you? And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Well, how about the trouble of sickness? Jesus took 39 stripes on his back. Isaiah 53:5 says, with his stripes we are healed. 1 Peter 2:24 says, with his stripes we were healed. Jesus took those. Modern scientists have discovered there were only 39 foundational diseases. All other sicknesses and diseases stem from these 39. With Jesus' stripes, we are healed. The Bible says he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. When we get in chapter 5, James is going to tell you, is any sick among you, to anoint them with oil, olive oil, in the name of the Lord. And he said, in the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up, and if they be in your sins, they be forgiven. And he says he sent his word and healed you. He said, I am the Lord your healer. Everywhere you turn, he said, I will restore health and cure to you. Jesus bore your pains and carried your sicknesses. So now, all of you have found wisdom, how to handle your sickness, how to handle your money, and how to handle your relationships. Now, what do we do with that?
That giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not.
God will not be mad at you if you ask for wisdom. So you go to the book, or a man or woman of God who knows the book, and you find the word of God, which is your solution.
And it shall be given him. Verse 6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering.
Faith is how you live the Christian life. most Christians have never lived anything by faith. You've never bothered to be healed by faith. You've never bothered that money would come to you by faith by doing the things God tells you to do. By the way, about money, I forgot one else. 2 Corinthians 9, he says, you give an offering above the tithe, you'll multiply it 30, 60, 100. I forgot to tell you that. You've never bothered with that. And you've never bothered to esteem your mate or your friend or your workplace higher than yourself. So you don't get anything. Now, he says nothing wavering. All right, he's going to talk about a double-minded man. Let's listen.
For he that wavereth is like the wave of a sea that is driven and tossed.
Like a white wave. In other words, you know, let's just say, let's do the money thing, let's do the relationship thing, let's do the healing thing. You found what God says, that's wisdom. Now, God is true, and let every man be a liar. And so you say, well, I'm not going to waver, I believe God's word. But then away we go over here. What do you think about my money? What do you think about my relationship? What do you think about my body? And this one says, I think you should get a surgeon. I think you should take this pill. I think you should borrow that money. I think you should go and beg for some money. I think you should go on Social Security and tell them you're sick and you're not. I think you should just go out and find somebody else. That's people saying stuff. Now listen to me, Christian. If you're going to be a Christian, let's be a Christian. Draw a line in the sand. Wavering means that you're hearing God, but you go out of that. And you look around. I would be dead if I had done that. God's word is quite adequate, thank you. When you waver, when you doubt, I want to reassure you that God wants you well. The leper came to Jesus and said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst heal me. Jesus said, I will. It is his will. Jesus does not put that sickness on you. When Jesus bore those sicknesses on his stripes, he cast them off himself. He overcame them. But all of that, just like the devil, is not yet going into the lake of fire. And Satan stole them and put them in his back room, and every now and then he throws one at you. It's illegal. If you're an elect and you're doing all the ifs about your body, about your money, about relationships, if you're doing the ifs, it's illegal. So, therefore, we have got, our instructions are from God's word. I will tell you this, nobody's going to do this, but I'm going to tell you because my hands are clean. I approve the two don't mix. It didn't say with the stripes plus this. That saying, that wasn't sufficient. He said his word and healed you. Plus this, plus that, plus the other. And every time you go on that cell phone and phone and start talking to somebody else, what would you do about the relationship? What would you do about the money? What would you do about this sickness? Why are you going somewhere else? The truth is from the truth. Jesus is the truth. Thy word is truth. Let God be true, let every man a liar. Now I want to understand something. I want you to understand. I will never tell you what to do about those things. I'm going to give you the word. I have stood only on the word. I've not had a guaranteed income and still don't ever in this school. And I have paid my tithes and given my vows and helped poor people and bought people cars and paid their rent and given and given and given and given. And I live sparsely, but I live by faith. I was healed 2 times of cancer. Totally by faith. Hard, long time. Not one Sherry Medlock in the world ever encouraged me on any of this. I don't get phone calls saying, how you going to make it? Only says the Mersons come if I begin to get a little bit of encouragement. Scott does encourage me a lot. But he didn't know me then. And my point with relationships, I have found that Jesus and one is all you need. So see, you just want to run hither, thither, and yonder. You say, but that's so radical. Everybody gets the surgeon. Everybody borrows the money. Everybody goes to somebody else and has... You aren't everybody. What's radical? Let's go back to the sickness thing since that's the hardest one. You know what's radical? Is that this world, made by God, for God's children, is sick with sickness. You know what's radical is disease and pain and heartbreak and relationships and lack. That's radical. And then you call someone radical who goes to the wisdom book and finds what God says and pours out that word like beautiful water and washes with water by the word of God. And you say, that's radical. No, you see, the radical devil has taken over our thinking.
Yeah.
Let's take back our thinking. He's going to talk about that now.
Verse 7, but let not that man think that he will receive anything of the Lord.
See, here we go, all of us, everybody. I always say, let's agree. Here's the scripture, let's agree. The first one coming out of agreement to go and look elsewhere. I'm sorry, I know this is hard for you, but it's the easiest thing in the world. You must come to God like a child. You know what? If Scott Merson tells Olivia and Max something, those two children believe in their dad. If he says, I'm going to pick you up from school, they know their dad is going to pick them up from school. They don't have to call up me and say, Pastor Sherry, do you think dad is going to pick us up from school? Or go to that teacher, do you think dad is going to pick us up from school? What do you think about daddy picking us up from school? Daddy said I'm going to pick you up from school, so daddy picks him up from school. You see how silly we are, how much we don't believe him? You know what God says, believe my prophets, believe my word.
Amen.
Amen.
Now that word works effectually in you. I have found that it's working beneath the surface. That's what's so beautiful. Like you plant some flower seeds or vegetable seeds and they don't come up until later. God is working there. It may have to go back to a time of your childhood when something shocked you. And you'll have to go and heal that. And it goes around and around, like my Google, those lights up there. It goes around and around until it cleans out everything. And so, if it's 6 months, if it's 6 years, if it's 18 years, let it do its perfect work. And one day, the miracle will be there. Living proof.
Verse 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways.
There he goes. He brings the mind into it. See, the Christians have adopted the mind of the world, which says sickness is normal. The recent president wanted to have national health care. That's an abomination. We're a Christian nation. What happened to the stripes? I didn't hear one person say that, did you? I didn't say anybody here to say that with Jesus' stripes we're healed, or he sent his word and healed them. Every city you go to, there's a building there, and it says, people, we're a hospital, and once you come in, it's going to be, let's make an appointment next week, next month, let's have this surgery, let's have this surgery. Here's some pharmaceutical pills for you. You're a patient for life. Sorry, they got you. That is abnormal. That is not God's will, and that's double-minded. If you're not going to go by the word, just say, excuse me, Lord, I don't believe, and then go ahead and take a boat. I would say this to you. I don't want to be responsible for anybody's life. If you cannot walk on water, please take a boat. I still want you to get to the other side.
Verse 9, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low.
What James is saying here, he's trying to get you to think differently. Be renewed by the renewing of your mind. Paul says to be renewed by the renewing of your mind. How to renew your mind? The Word of God. I want to tell you that reading the Bible, I'm not talking about reading, I read the Bible today, No, where it bubbles and boils in you and becomes a vitamin in you.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. You might have to start out with reciting it when you're teaching somebody the first time. But that isn't any good. You've got to get in there and digest those words and let the Holy Spirit bring it to you. So the next time you start getting discouraged or you want to kind of go outside the box, grab the word. Don't grab the phone, grab the word. Don't grab the pill, grab the word.
Amen.
Don't grab the credit card, grab the word.
Amen.
Okay, there you have it. Double-minded man is unstable. Now what he's talking about here, poor and rich, he wants you to think, your life is just one little dot in the flesh. You were with God for a long time in eternity, and everything was perfect. You and your spiritual body. But because of sin, here you are, and you're in a test. Did you ever think a test was supposed to be easy? You're being trained to reign. Nobody wants a milquetoast hothouse lily fighting devils for us and teaching us in the millennium. Nobody's going to believe you. You got to be strong. You got to be holy. You got to know what you're doing. You got to have the victory, and you got to show the victory there. Okay? And so then this is the dot. And then if you're saved and you're to the end, there is this long, long, forever, eternal life waiting you. So what he's saying there, if you are even poor, That's okay, and you get a promotion. Great, that's good. If you're rich and you lose it all, that's good. See, this is just a dot. This is just temporary. This is just a test. The trouble, the sickness, the money, the relationship, this is just a moment. This is not all. You're being trained to reign. Endure. Like a good soldier of the cross. Pick up that cross and walk and be happy in it. Count it all joy, said James to begin this. Jesus said, be of good cheer. Nobody said the trouble's easy, and nobody knows that more than I. You wouldn't believe it. But my point is, don't feel sorry for yourself. And you know, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, 13, he says, God will not allow more than you're able to bear. He will make a way that you may be able to bear it. You say, well, I know Christians, they just have some problems, and they don't have these life-shattering problems like you and Scott do. Well, to whom much is given, much is required. They probably don't have a great big assignment in their eternity. You see what I'm saying? Too much is given, much is required. And so you're being trained to reign, so keep that in mind. My point is, if you would stop thinking that this is all. See, most of you think you're four, you're no more, your dog, your cat, your job, this little world here, you think this is your life. Thank God I learned it a long time ago. Even as a child, I began to see that I was about eternity, and you're about eternity. And whether you're poor, you get exalted, thank you, Lord, for the promotion. You get a promotion, great, that's good, I'm glad. But you know what I'd really rather see? I'd rather see you go out there and win some souls. That would be rich to me. Or the rich man lose it all, so what, so heck, this is just a dot. Pressing straight on, enduring to the end, keeping your eyes on Jesus, on the goal. Steady, steady, steady.
For as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. 11, for the sun is no sooner risen with the burning heat, and it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the great of the fashion of it perisheth.
So he likens this little time in the flesh, and you think your troubles are just always and forever. It's just the hot sun comes up, and there's the grass. You mow the grass, and Lord have mercy, it's already dead. This is just a test. Keep that in mind. Take your mind out of thinking that this is your life. This is a test for your future life. This isn't about fun here. I'm sorry. You want that so much. It isn't about comfort or fun. It isn't about fame or fortune. It is about getting the job done that Jesus sent us to do. Getting the word out, the truth out to the world. That's what you're about. Yes, the devil will hit you with these things. If you have to get to that goalpost crawling, crawl in with a smile on your face. Count it joy. Great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted be the prophets which were before you.
Amen. So also shall the rich man fade away in his way. Verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation.
Now the temptation here means the trouble that you endure. He says, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. See, if the little butterfly could have endured the rest of its trouble, trying to kick and get out of there, it would have been perfect, but it was cut short. It's very important that we trust God. God knows what he's doing. Satan tries to get the elect out of the way. It's really a badge of honor. But God sees and watches your attitude. You don't ever want to be bitter. And I'm going to tell you something. When you go to the scripture about your relationship, when you go to the scripture about your money, when you go to your healing, believe the word. And don't waver at all. Don't look to anything else. And when you agree, stay in agreement. Don't go to the word and say, maybe God will do this and maybe God will not. God said he would. He said, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Lord shall raise them up. That's what we said praying the other night. The Lord shall raise you up. The Lord said he would do it. Is he going to lie to you?
No.
Thy word is truth. Let's all say it. Thy word is truth. Let God be true and every man a liar. You say, but the doctors have great PhDs and are trained. Yeah, the lawyers and Harvard and Yale professors have PhDs, and they don't even know the Bible. They're preaching global warming. They don't even know Genesis 8:22 that says we're going to always have cold and heat. See, they got PhDs. I'm a pretty educated woman myself, but I believe the word of God. And I'm living proof of this about the money, about the relationships, and about the body. And James says, if you believe and you don't waver, he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. The Lord will not make you ashamed. Each time that there's a bit of a delay, delay does not mean denial. There's work going on you. And when it's a family thing, there's work going on in your family. God wants the whole family to come together to be on that point of total trust. So we have it. James says to count it all joy when you come into divers temptations, or meaning troubles. That trouble will turn into good. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. God bless you, and I pray this helps you. We'll begin right there next week. But right now it's time for Mystery Moment, questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. Let me welcome man of God, my twin friend, the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very well, Miss Sherry. Now, if that doesn't get you excited, I don't know what will.
That'll do it. Yeah. I should wake him up.
That'll wake you up. All right, our first question tonight. Do you know who Lilith is?
Yes, I know who Lilith is. Lilith is not a real person. She's a mythical character, a fable. Those same law professors in Harvard and Yale and professors like that made up a Lilith to try to explain all the races. They don't understand that the Bible says in Genesis 1:26 that that word Adam means mankind in general, and that that's when God made all the races, and God said it's very good. But they can't believe that. So they said, let's make up a story and say that the man Adam married another woman before he married Eve, and they made up her name Lilith. Just a pure fable.
Yeah, they need to ask for that wisdom, right?
That's right. They're a fable.
Our next question. Why do you pray, Father, in Jesus' name?
Well, first of all, in the book of Matthew, Jesus says, therefore pray ye our Father. And then he goes on to say, in my name. Now listen to me, all of you who want to be prayer warriors. Yes, of course, we respectfully use the name of Jesus, because his name, Yeshua, means Yahweh's Savior. But what is his name? Revelation 19:13. His name is called the Word of God. So that means that you say, Father, and of course, respectfully say, in Jesus' name, then you pray the Word of God. That's his name. Now you know why every time someone asks me to pray, I pray the Word of God. It's your sickness, it's your money, it's your relationship, it's your job, it's your whatever going on. The Word of God. In other words, that's the name of God. All of you want to know why your prayers aren't answered? Do you ever pray his name? His name is called the Word of God. You say, oh, I just thought it was Jesus' name is beautiful, and demons will bow. But the meaning of his name, Revelation 19:13, remember it, is called the Word of God. So everything that comes your way, pray the Word of God over that. You want to help people, don't just spout off words. Pray the Word of God over them.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's what it means. Okay. Well, you know, David left his stuff in the cart, and Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. It's time now for Scott's stuff.
Jesus declares that whatever we ask in his name, he will give it to me. Fearlessly, I take my place. I lay my hands upon that loved one who is sick and say, in the name of Jesus, disease, leave this body. Demon, leave this body and go off into the abyss where you belong. Don't you ever touch this loved one again. Christ said to me that they who believe should lay hands on the sick and they should recover. In my name, they shall cast out demons. He said this to me. I accept it at its face value, and I act upon it because he said it to me.
That is so good. And see, you're doing that in his name. You said what he said about that. You know, Scott and I did not plan this at all. He didn't know that I was going to ask that question. And I didn't know he was going to do that for Scott's stuff. So see how God is working things out. I'm going to pray for those of you who are sick. But first of all, I want to pray for anyone who's lost. Please pray this prayer of salvation with me and mean it. Excuse me. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Please wash away all my sins.
Please wash away all my sins.
With the blood of Jesus.
With the blood of Jesus.
Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Fill me with your Spirit.
Fill me with your spirit.
Walk me in your word.
Walk me in your word.
And use me.
And use me.
To bring others to Jesus.
To bring others to Jesus.
I love you.
I love you.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
And Jesus is the living word.
And Jesus is the living word.
Amen. Amen. In a few moments, my announcer is going to give you my telephone number. If you accepted the Lord, please feel free to call and leave that message on my voicemail. Now, let me pray for those of you who are sick. Let's just get with this. Father, in the name and the power of Jesus, you said in Malachi 4, O Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in your wings. In the name and the power of Jesus, all up and down the spine, the fire of the Lamb of God going through the spine, just directing and perfecting. Hey, in Jesus' mighty name, who? Praise God, made perfect, made whole, where you are, Jesus' healing virtue be upon you. He sent his word and healed you, and with his stripes we are healed. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Who we all say,
I agree in Jesus' name.
Oh, that was like an electric bolt. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Well, now, on Sundays we have at 5 p.m., you're invited to the Word and Prayer. Wednesday, 6 p.m. Thursday, Scott meets me here from 12 to noon. We open the door to pray for anyone. If you're sick, come then. If you've got any other problems, so call us. And we're working on pretty soon to have another Day of Atonement for the United States of America. And I'll let you know about that when the Lord organizes it for me. Remember this about Jesus. His name is called the Word of God, Revelation 19:13. I think you might have gotten that tonight. I hope you will remember it and apply it in your life. That's his name. His name is called the Word of God. And always remember that all these wonderful things that you hear are not yours to keep. They're yours to share. Jesus said, go and tell. Until next time, this is your host, Sherry Medlock, with my twin friend, Scott Merson, saying we love you, God bless you, God keep you, God make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. God lift up his countenance upon you. And God give you peace. And God give you miracles. And listen, with Jesus' stripes, you are healed. I love you. God bless you. Now, everybody remember, go and blow the trumpet of truth.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
Lord, I wish I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, I bring you something new, I tell how great you are. Tell my praise to you
is like an ocean breeze blowing on your face, like a summer sun with a swarm embrace,
like a gentle rain plays a symphony. That's what I want my praise to be,
like a fragrant rose in the early spring, like an eagle soars when it spreads its wings.
Whatever what I want my praise to be to you. Everything I could give you already possess. Lord, I'm so unworthy, yeah. I'm just one of the millions to stand and confess, and yet still you hear me.
Like a gentle rain plays a symphony. That's what I want my praise to be. Like a fragrant rose in the early spring. Like an eagle soars when it spreads its wings. Whatever, Lord, you may need from me. That's what I want my praise to be.
Faithful when I fall down, faithful when I rise. You have led me to the sadness I have carried, this pain on a back bruised and nearly broken. I'm crying out to you. I will sing of your mercy that leads me through valleys of sorrow to rivers of joy. When death, like a gypsy, comes to steal what I love, I will still look to the heavens. I will still seek your face, but I fear you aren't listening, because there are no words, just the stillness,
just the stillness
and the hunger,
and the hunger
for a faith that is yours. I will sing of your mercy, leads me through valleys of sorrow rivers of joy. I will sing of your mercy that leads me through valleys of sorrow to rivers of joy. Alleluia, 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 alleluia. While we wait for rescue with our eyes tightly shut, face to the ground, using our hands to cover the fatal cut. And though the pain is an ocean tossing us around, 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 you have calmed greater waters, and higher mountains have come down. I will sing of your mercy that leads me through valleys of sorrow to rivers of joy. Yeah.
Listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, Vieira, FM 102.3.
Is it true?
Never mind your circumstance, you might be rich, you might be poor, still your heart cries out for love. Once you've tasted of it, you hunger for more. I am no different, seems I'm hungry all of the time. Do you have enough to share with me? I'll share with you some of mine. So put your arms up. There is no place closer to heaven than here with you tonight. From a distance, as some would say, God in His mercy is here. Love is conquering sorrow, bringing hope to my tomorrow. He's the love within this place. He's the smile upon my face. Put your arms on. There is no place closer to heaven than here with you tonight.
Don't know why every time I try to tell you how I feel about you, about you. I can't find words designed that say exactly what you mean to me, 'cause you mean so much to me.
So much to me.
So I stop, I look up, all I'm really trying to say is that there's something about the way I've been feeling lately. I'm walking around with a great big smile written on my face. How can it be? I'm bursting at the seams.
Something about it's you who gave me life, and I can't explain just how much you mean to me now that you would save me, Lord. I give all that I am to you, that every day I can be a light that shines your name. Every day, Lord, I learn to stand upon your word, and I pray that I might come to know you more, that you would guide me in every step I take, Lord, that every day I can be a light unto the world.
Every day.
Say, Lord, it's you who gave me life, and I can't explain just how much you mean to me now that you would save me, Lord. I give all that I am to you. Every day I can be a light that shines your name.
Every day.